Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
There's a lot of questions floating around when it comes to immigration, families, children being held in detention facilities, changes in policy. But the answers are hard to come by, Pamela.
Yeah, it's most definitely hard to come by. So we're wondering what's happening to the 2,300 kids who have already been separated from their families. Now,
solid question.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got Health and Human Services that are saying those kids will not immediately be reunited with their families. So you've got a spokesperson from the department there that says their cases, those kids' cases are going to proceed through the system.
And we know that, and this is according to the DHS, the parent organization, government agency, that of these roughly 2,500 children, and I'm not trying to make it sound more or less, that's about the number, that have already been taken from their parents, they are and have been sent to shelters. Shelters in 13 different states. And we're talking about infants a few months old all the way up to 17 years old. But that in some cases, Pamela, these children are in shelters, facilities, thousands of miles away from where their parents are being held. And the Department of Homeland Security isn't even sure whose kid goes with what parent, vice versa.
Right, because it doesn't appear that there was any detailed plan for getting that kind of information, getting the adequate contact information for the parents, details of the records as to where a child has been sent. And so when you have a parent who gets deported without their child, how do you reunify the two of them?
Well, I don't think that's, even if you're cheering for send them back, build a wall, lock them up, you're going to send them back without their kid? So the question becomes, is the kid staying in the United States?
That's another question. So,
and if so, with who?
That child is going to go through an immigration hearing.
Okay.
All right? Mom or dad have gone through a criminal hearing. Kid's going to go through an immigration hearing.
Got it.
Then if they're deported, okay, let's say you deport them back to Guatemala because
El Salvador,
whatever
where they're
reason,
from.
How do you make sure that they are reunited with someone once they get there?
I'm not trying to play like the worst case and the what if, and I don't do what aboutism. I think it's stupid. 3, 4, 5 years old, you're going to have to help me with age in there somewhere. Thinking of Riley. At what age can you articulate exactly who your parents are, what their names are, and where you're from?
It depends on the child.
Agreed. But there's got to be some 3 and 4 year olds out there like, where are you from? I'm from home. What do you mean?
Yeah, no.
Who are your parents? Mommy and daddy. What do you mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to ask the child to explain their story, I'm just saying they may not be able to explain it, at least not accurately explain it.
So you've got the folks within the HHS that say that they're working to reunite families as soon as possible, but yet they're not providing any answers as to how that's going to happen. Now, the executive order that the president signed has most people saying, okay, we're no longer separating families along the border. Because if you actually read the executive order, it says that they can separate families anytime there is a quote-unquote concern for a child's welfare. Yet they don't define what concern means.
But I think there's a practical matter to this, Pamela. And the fact is, we're hearing from people like the Border Patrol that they're full, that their facilities are full. And so even if they have a genuine concern, they don't have some place to put people. There's a practical application of it. Because
but still, you can separate a child because of a concern. You're not defining what that concern
whatever
is.
That
there's
concern
a lot
might
of
be.
Wiggle room
oh,
so that they can separate families, and there's no requirement to document what that concern is.
But the Border Patrol said today, spokesperson for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency said that the U.S. Border Patrol, quote, will no longer refer migrant parents who cross into the United States illegally with children to federal courthouses to face criminal charges. They will no longer refer and or, I'm assuming that means charge, parents, in other words, adults with children, for criminal charges when they catch them.
So is that, what does that mean? They're just letting them go?
Yes. That's what the Border Patrol is saying.
Okay, so that brings another story to light here. Let me pull it up here. We know that
the Justice Department has declined comment on this.
Earlier this morning, right before we got on the show, now we're starting to put some of the pieces of the puzzle together for you folks. We found out that in McAllen, Texas, there was a civil rights group attorney that said federal prosecutors unexpectedly dropped those misdemeanor charges against 17 adult immigrants who crossed the border with their kids.
So, again, I think this gets into the practical application because I think that's what's going on. Because here's, again, U.S. Border Patrol said, we're suspending prosecutions of adults who are members of family units until ICE can accelerate resource capability to allow us to maintain custody. We don't have anywhere else to hold people.
But here's the deal. Those 17 where the charges were unexpectedly dropped, they were already separated.
They were in custody.
They were in custody. They were already separated. So now they're probably going to be put in these detention centers. They don't know when the reunification is going to happen, if it's going to happen. And they keep asking about their children. There's a lot of moving parts here. And when you talk about just the...
Take a look at some of...
The real-world application to all of this. Okay, so now you're going to detain families together, right?
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
That Border Patrol says they're not even going to detain them, but potentially they could.
But that's the executive order that the president signed yesterday. So the Attorney General's office is saying that you can only detain those families for 20 days. Okay? That's part of this Flores settlement that you
keep
hearing about.
That's U.S. law is if you're caught in the crossing or caught in the country illegally as a family member, maximum 20 days.
That hasn't changed.
No, that law hasn't changed.
So you're going to have lawyers that are going to challenge that, okay? Ask the judge to, you know, allow these families to be held indefinitely. The reason why I bring this up, folks, it's an important distinction to make. Because, mark my word, in 3 weeks, we are going to find ourselves right back at this point. Because those families who are detained, who are allowed to stay together, are now going to be walking up against this deadline, which something has to give. We haven't determined what that give is yet.
Fair.
So it's kind of kicking the can down the road as you've got the House right now, House of Representatives, trying to pass some sort of immigration bill. And Paul Ryan even talking about what happens if they don't.
If these bills do not pass today, then we will cross that bridge when we get to it. But the last thing I want to do right now is undercut the votes that we're about to have on what I think are pretty darn good immigration measures.
You might think they're darn good immigration measures, but I think that the chances of them passing are slim to none, and none just left the building. I mean, like, this is ridiculous.
Well, and you can see I think if you're even being fair, it's a mishmash of policies, laws, jurisdictions. You've got DOJ, you've got ICE, you got DHS, you got Customs and Border Protection. You have all these different agencies that have their own policies and procedures in place that have to work with other agencies. The agencies aren't on the same page. Individuals are having to make decisions. I mean, think about a Border Patrol agent literally walking the line today in southern Arizona, in Douglas, Arizona, and he comes upon a migrant family. Like, does he literally know what he's supposed to do? Like, okay, what exactly do you want me to do? I'm standing here with a family of four.
So the president signed the executive order yesterday. We had heard that he was getting a lot of pressure from his daughter, and he was getting a lot of pressure from Melania. Melania took an interesting trip today.
That she did.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So, speaking of Congress, just literally seconds ago, House Leader McCarthy, he's number two to Paul Ryan, announced the compromise bill. And we talked about two of them. There's a kind of a compromise bill, which is something in the middle, and then there's more of a conservative bill. The compromise bill vote has been postponed until tomorrow, he said, to give members more time to review.
All right, so just to kind of clue you in as to what is involved in that compromise bill that's just been postponed, that would offer legal status for young unauthorized immigrants, these dreamers, right? It would offer them a path to citizenship for some based on merit, direct billions of dollars towards a southern border wall, make cuts to legal immigration and make it harder to seek asylum. Now, I think that also harder to seek asylum is kind of interesting because, folks, I mean, there's so many moving parts to this story, a very important story. And I think all too often, illegal immigrants crossing the border illegally are getting lumped together with asylum seekers. Not everybody who is crossing the border illegally is escaping gang violence in Central America. What? So you have illegal immigrants and you've got asylum seekers, but people just keep kind of putting them together.
Again, I know people are lazy and like to throw things together. Also, people who present themselves at a legal border entry, think Nogales, Tijuana, El Paso Juarez, they are not illegal as the process moves forward to determine if they have an amnesty claim.
Right. So it is, there's no
crime. They're not here illegally.
If you are seeking asylum, that is not a crime. Nope. And in this executive order, it says the only way to enter this country is at a designated port of entry at an appropriate time.
The problem was that we were separating families from people even applying for amnesty.
Right. There's a lot of indication out there that the Border Patrol is blocking people from entering ports of entry, preventing them from making asylum claims.
Not so meeting with them?
It's a bit of a shell game out there.
Okay.
So, as all of this has been kind of developing over the last 24 hours since the executive order has been signed, there was a bit of a new twist.
New twist!
This morning.
Sit down, new twist.
We were in studio getting ready to start the show as we look up at the three flat screen televisions before us, only to find First Lady Melania Trump in Texas.
In Texas.
She went down to McAllen, Texas. She went into one of these detention facilities. She wanted to see what was going on. Here's a little bit of what she had to say.
I'm here to learn about your facility, and which I know you housed children on a long-term basis. And I also like to ask you how I can help to these children to reunite with their families as quickly as possible.
What's going on in like the Trump marriage when you have Melania Trump, who's down at one of these detention facilities, mm-hmm. saying, I want to know what I can do to help.
Right.
And then yesterday, yes, the president signed this executive order, but then just hours later, he was in Duluth, Minnesota, saying this.
We're putting in legislation. We're not giving them any more aid. When they send people up, remember the original speech. Right? My original speech.
Always good when you quote
they
yourself.
Are sending. You remember those words? Everyone said, oh, how terrible.
It is terrible.
They are sending. Well, let me tell you, they're sending, and they're not sending their finest, that I can tell you. And we're sending them the hell back.
We don't put our finest on TV either. So,
Melania, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
Donald, sending them the hell back.
Yeah, she was at a facility that houses apparently 55 children, not the same facility that was holding thousands. We'd heard the abandoned Walmart. This was a different facility in the same area. And she was there to ask how she could help and specifically talked about the issue we were just talking about. How do you reunite these children with their parents? Because that is not as obvious as it may seem. That there isn't a paper trail, there isn't a connection, and some of these children have literally been sent thousands of miles away to, and I'm going to assume, the best available bed they could find, the best facility they could find, but it may be nowhere near where mom and dad are being held.
Yeah, okay, so how do you put children and parents back together when the parents have already been deported to Central America?
Dad's in Guatemala and the kids in a facility in New York, now what?
And then you were unable to locate any relative in the United States.
Now what?
Great question.
Now what?
And
the kid's 2.5 years old. Now what? Now what? I don't get it. I don't know what the process or the plan is. I mean, it's exasperating, I think, for a lot of people. It shows how broken all aspects of the system are. I don't give President Trump credit for reversing his bad policy of 7 weeks ago, you know, any more than I give credit for the arsonist for putting out the fire that he started. That But it is also fair to say that this isn't a problem that Donald Trump created in and of itself. He made it worse. He poured gasoline on it. But this fire has been burning for quite some time. And you have the postponement of a vote in Congress because they don't even have remotely enough votes to do anything on this.
Here's where I struggle. Not for separating families. Not at all. I think it's horrific. Not for catch and release either. You come into this country illegally, you know, just to go, okay, show back up at court on this date and hope and wish and pray for the best. That's a failed system as well.
My problem is I don't know if there's anything in the middle, and so I'm okay with catch and release over separating families and putting kids and parents in prison. So I'm more okay with trusting that they'll show up for a court date, incentivizing them to do so, than I am jailing them.
I get where you're coming from. I hope you can see my point as well, where it comes to there's no easy solution. There's no right and wrong in this. We need to find something in the middle. That's obviously difficult to do, or else it would have been done in previous administrations. This president is in a very tough situation, some of which he's created on his own, others the burden he has adopted from decades of inactivity from administrations and Congress.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Again, though, being in the country illegally is a misdemeanor, criminal misdemeanor. We don't usually throw people in jail for misdemeanors in the United States. Just, we'll be consistent with our laws. I think that's the best case scenario. Boy, this ain't going away, is it? We got more on the way next on KTAR News.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
I think it's fair to say one of the big questions a lot of people are still asking is how quickly parents and children who have been separated at the border will be reunited and the whole process of what's going on with that. But there is a practical application to what is going on. And we touched on it briefly, and I just think it's worth digging into more. We're hearing from and we're getting quotes from the United States Border Patrol about how they have interpreted President Trump's executive order.
Okay.
To not separate families at the border. I want to make sure we're dealing in facts here. We all agree that's the gist of the executive order.
Here's the president signing that executive order yesterday.
We're signing an executive order. I consider it to be a very important executive order. It's about keeping families together while at the same time being sure that we have a very powerful, very strong border, and border security will be equal, if not greater, than previously.
Trump also mentioned, and inside the order, the government would maintain, quote, a zero tolerance policy, unquote, with those who break the law. The problem is, you can say all the things you want. You can sign them in an executive order. If you're a Border Patrol agent, how do you do both? How do you maintain a zero tolerance policy, which is charge everyone caught in the country illegally with a criminal misdemeanor, and also not separate families at the same time?
Okay, so how I hear it would be if you're charging the parents that cross the border with their children.
Mom and dad or mom or dad individually.
Okay. My understanding is would they not be housed in some sort of family detention center?
In a perfect world, U.S. Border Patrol is saying we have no space for these people. Quote, we are suspending prosecution of adults who are members of family units, per the executive order, until ICE, they're blaming ICE, can accelerate resource capability to allow us to maintain custody.
Okay, there's a lot going on there. So what I just heard you say is you can't have, the Border Patrol is saying, you can't have zero tolerance.
Lock them up.
And not separate families at the same time.
We don't have family facilities to put them in.
So.
And we're breaking the law. We're breaking the executive order by splitting the families. We are breaking the zero tolerance policy if we try to prosecute everyone. Which one do you want us to do? The Border Patrol is basically saying, which one would you rather have us do? Lock them up, separating families because we have detention facilities for men, some for women, some for children, but we don't have enough or any, depending on the area, of these family detention facilities. So we can't keep the family together while we have a zero tolerance policy. If we have a zero tolerance policy, we have to break the family up. Which one would you like us to do? So as of right now, according to these quotes coming out of the Customs and Border Patrol, we are not prosecuting adults who are members of family units because if we prosecute them, we have to break the family up. Do you see what I'm saying?
We got to get somebody from Customs and Border Patrol on.
I can understand where they're sitting there going, guys, you issued two competing directives. They cannot exist in the same world.
Okay, could they exist in the same world if you started putting up these tents? We've heard of these.
Like Tent City?
On military bases, because that's what I've been hearing the government is looking to do. Put up these tents on military bases to house these families.
And Border Patrol, again, in their quote said that they were suspending, I'm assuming temporarily, that's what that means, prosecution. Until ICE, who are the ones that do these facilities, can accelerate resource capability. That's government talk. Basically, until they can open up beds, until they can open up a room, until they give us a place to put the family. Otherwise, we have to break up the family because we're certainly not going to put kids in an adult jail. We're not going to put adults in a kid's facility.
How does this end?
I haven't the foggiest.
How does this end?
But, I mean, you can see the practical application. If you're a Border Patrol agent, I'm not saying it to be facetious, you're like, which policy would you like me to follow? Zero tolerance is dad cuffs on you, mom cuffs on you, kids, you go over there. We're going to charge you. You're going to go before a judge, mom or dad. And your kids are going to be held in one of these abandoned Walmarts. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying. Or would you like us to keep the family together? If the number one goal is keep the family together, we can't put the cuffs on them because then we've got nowhere to put them. Which do you pick a side of the fence?
It was my understanding that there were facilities for these families to be detained in. Now, because this isn't the first administration who has walked up against this issue of families.
No, so not new.
So there are facilities. I think what the Border Patrol is running into, if I'm gathering everything here, is that those facilities are going to fill up quickly.
Maxed out, if not already.
Once they fill up, what do I do?
What do we do with these people? Because we learned this talking to our former chief of staff of the Border Patrol earlier this week. Thad Binger? I think I got it right. I thought he made a really interesting point. You go back to the Bush administration or even early in the Obama administration, the type of people showing up at the border are very different from the type of people showing up today. The type of people that Border Patrol was arresting 15 years ago,
2004, yeah, 15,
were single young Mexican males coming here to work in farms, work in factories, work at whatever. Who they are arresting today? Mom, dad, and two kids from Guatemala, from El Salvador. It's a different immigrant at the border, but it sounds like immigration hasn't caught up to the changing landscape.
You can't turn somebody from Guatemala around and send them back over to Mexico.
No, you can't just turn them back around. No.
Whereas you could do that with the single
Mexican male and go, you're in Nogales now. Stay. Just highlighting the difficulty of this. And I don't even know where the blame is. This isn't me blaming it. Just the practical application. With the Border Patrol saying, which would you like us to do? Zero tolerance or not break up families? Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to hell in a handbasket. Pamela says, she can help restore your faith in humanity next.
Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Thank you for spending time with us today as we try to navigate through, especially this immigration story, try to highlight some of the issues, trying to get answers from some of them, and ask questions, questions you yourself might be thinking. We're just hearing and saw some of these reports about allegations of abuse or improper care at some of these facilities that are housing, and we know in some cases up to like 1,500 kids under one roof. I'm sure it's easy to make those allegations. I don't know how true they are. They deserve to be investigated. But one of the interesting things, and again, we'll credit Pamela for this, who noticed, that in the child detention facilities, is that technically what they're called?
Go with it.
Okay. The ones that media have been allowed into, the ones that we've have press reports from, heck, the ones that the government has released photos of, here's what it looks like on the inside, the government-approved pictures.
Yeah, let's be clear. Yeah. Those are not images that journalists have taken. When journalists are allowed into these facilities, which they've pretty much put a stop to it right now, when journalists are allowed in, there's no equipment that's allowed to come in.
No, you can't,
so
you can't
the
bring
images
a phone.
From inside these facilities that you may have seen on the internet or on the news, those have been released by the government.
Yeah, they don't show any children's faces, which you could certainly understand. And for the most part, there's nothing outrageous in of themselves. But Pamela noticed one thing about all of the images we're getting from inside the facilities.
They're all of boys.
These are the male-only facilities. We know that, and you can imagine, young/teenage boys and girls are kept in separate facilities.
So as they should be.
That's not a criticism.
As they should be.
And adults are kept separate from kids, as they should be. Where are the girls?
Great question. And when people have been asked that question, they haven't been able to answer it. Earlier this week, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirsten Nelson was asked, kind of deflected it, saying, I don't know, consult Health and Human Services. Very flippant.
Ask somebody else.
And the reason why I want to know where all the girls are, one, if you didn't know, I'm a girl.
Here, here.
Two, I have a daughter.
Who is of the age that could be in one of these facilities.
And another news flash, girls and boys are a bit different. So we hear,
and I didn't think of it in that context. But I understand what you mean.
Yeah. When you hear about the dangerous journey of coming up through Mexico or Central America, whether it be by a human smuggler, even if you're coming with your family, there's somebody that's taking you along that journey, okay? You don't just plug it into your Apple iPhone and have Google Maps will tell you how to navigate to get to the border. We hear about the rapes. We hear about the assaults that take place.
Along the journey.
So these young girls, they need some special attention.
Unique care, possibly. Yeah.
Pregnancy, sexual assault, psychological traumas from the assault and the rape they may have faced even in their home countries or along those journey.
Wow.
Where are the girls?
A lot of questions. Still not a ton of answers. Might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says, she'll restore your faith in humanity.
Yeah, a little bit of a heavy lift today, but you know what? I think I got a great story that will do just that for you guys. Because, you know, when you think about the World Cup, you think about crazy sports fans. Well, it also brings out some of the best stories of compassion as well as international peace. Okay, so I find this awesome. For starters, Japanese fans made some headlines for continuing their practice of respectfully picking up trash and cleaning up stadiums after the game. So there was a video showing this. It was a Colombian man filming these Japanese fans that were, you know, picking up trash, and he was praising their nation's culture and actually scolding his own people for not following their example, right?
Show hands.
Also, there was a photo later published showing depicting Colombian and Mexican fans holding up an Egyptian man in a wheelchair so that he can watch his team play.
No.
It was when they were playing against Uruguay, and, mm-hmm. and the photo was taken. They were in, you know, the middle of one of these plazas,
sure.
where the screens were up there.
Like one big screen, everybody
and,
wandering
and check
around.
It out. Check it out. Look at that, Bruce. They're like literally holding up his wheelchair so that he can watch. And then,
it's like bringing the king into the ceremony.
Not to be outdone, the Senegalese fan base also took after the Japanese, and they started cleaning up the stadium.
Police your area.
Their team's historic win against Poland. I love these stories.
That is fantastic.
Right?
Yeah. If you're paying attention, filling out your brackets today, France beat Peru. That's good news for you, Pamela, because Olivier Giroud is still in the
Oh, was
tournament.
He the one you just... Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm, nice.
Denmark and Australia tied. Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. And Argentina and Croatia tied at nil at half. I'll be watching lots of it. Right. Hey, thanks for spending time with us. We do appreciate it. Hey, all day long, we'll continue to update you on this story, immigration, the border, kids, what's happening, what's changing, what's not changing. We look through the Double Pane Bulletproof Glass. We thank DJ Tommy Two-Tone over there, also super producer Stevie Z, our intern Siri, formerly known as Alexa, and... we also have Bob McClay, news, traffic, weather information, all the things you need to know.